This is William for AttackOfTheFanboy.com, and we're here for Attack of the Fanboy podcast number 43. With me is Kyle. We are going to talk about all the gaming news from this week. It was a big week, Kyle, especially a big week for you, I know.
Yeah. Of course, you know, everything has been dull, boring, light news weeks, and then you and I are both busy this last week, yeah. And all of a sudden, the freaking sky comes down.
PlayStation VR launches, the NX gets revealed, Red Dead Redemption 2 is announced, mm-hmm. And we are nowhere to be found.
Yep.
That's the end of the podcast, folks. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we didn't watch those trailers. We didn't do anything.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that is that trailer for the Nintendo Switch,
yep.
As it is now called, was interesting and has garnered a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. It was like the top 5 posts on Reddit all at the same time.
Really?
It was insane, the reaction that thing is getting.
Is it positive?
It seems to be largely positive. There's an undercurrent of doubt, and
I definitely understand.
I actually agree with the doubt.
Yeah.
Like, you would think, like, people always, you know, think someone is either an Xbox fan or a PS4 fan or a Nintendo fan, and then they're going to back that. I definitely try not to do that. I try to be objective. I am a Nintendo fan. I know that. And I'm going to buy the Switch, of course, but at the same time, it's a little weird. I don't know that Nintendo is going down the right path with this, and I'm very concerned. I think it'll be good. I think it's a neat idea. I think, you know, obviously...
Is it a gimmick?
The games are going to be great.
Is my question.
It's actually not a gimmick. I don't think that this qualifies as a gimmick, because... It's very functional. I mean, being able to take your home console and take it along with you is, you know, that's not too gimmicky. It's not like throwing anything in there. The games aren't going to have to really shape themselves around it. It's just going to be you're playing Zelda and you've got to go. And so you grab your Switch and go, and you get to keep playing it. So
yeah,
I don't think it's a theoretic gimmick situation.
Whether or not that works, how well that works. So where is the processing power? It's in the thing that slides between the two dog ear paddles or whatever.
Yeah, it's in that tablet looking thing. There's theories. I mean, this trailer is literally all the info.
Yeah, they said that they're like, this is it, and then we're going to tell you more.
wait till next year.
Later.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the theory is that home base where you put it in there is going to give it a boost.
Right.
And that it'll run better when it's in that. Whether that's because it will have dedicated power and not running off battery, or because there's actual some sort of graphic power in there that it's going to use to kind of give it that extra oomph. But yeah, the games will run on just that tablet. You can take it with you. You can buy your games on cartridge or digitally, I would almost... definitely assume, and take it with you and play them wherever you are.
Well, you know who's not impressed by the Switch is the investing community.
Well, you know, that happens every time. It shot up right after, and then it dropped down. And it did drop down more than it shot up initially.
Right.
But that's just kind of... Yeah, investors, I don't know. They just do stupid stuff.
Buy the rumor,
like
sell the news, Kyle. That's how it works.
That's what I heard that. That's apparently a saying I had never heard before.
Yeah.
And now that's the second time I heard it today.
Mm-hmm. Really? Who else fucking said that to you?
Someone on Reddit.
About
this exact thing.
That was
thing.
Me on
yep.
Reddit.
I'm
trolling you.
I found your account.
I'm following you all over Reddit, just trolling you. Yeah. yeah, so, I mean, for me personally, I am not a huge Wii U person. I didn't own a GameCube. I own a 3DS, and I like the games that Nintendo puts out. I'm sure if I would have held on to my Wii U a little longer, I would have enjoyed a lot of those games where they hit that sweet spot where they were just coming out, like, one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah, I think people really underestimate the quality of the Wii U. I've seen a lot of people surrounding the Switch announcement saying things like, oh, I never bought a Wii U and I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm like, no, but it had amazing games like Super Mario 3D World, all the Zelda remakes, Bayonetta 2, Splatoon. Mario Kart, Splatoon, Super Smash Brothers. Like, yeah. It had an amazing lineup, yeah. But it just didn't sell
didn't have
hardware
a Zelda
to support that. It did not have a standalone Zelda. Yeah, that was definitely a problem. And this one will at launch, so that's going to be a nice little boost for it. I think my biggest question is, like, that trailer had so many use cases for this that I don't think anyone will ever actually have. Like, no one's going to bring their Switch to a rooftop party and
why not
put it up and play two-player games on the little tiny controllers. That's just not... I have nerdy friends, and we're not going to do that.
That's way past even what you would consider doing.
Yeah, no. I mean, maybe on a plane, you know? But that's... How often am I on a plane? A couple hours, three or four times a year. Something like that. So,
right.
I don't know. The battery life has to be good. That's, I think, priority number one. If this thing doesn't have a 5-plus-hour battery... It's DOA in a lot of ways. There's like two big narratives that I have in my head, which are that this is repeating the mistakes of the PS Vita, which is like the reason that the Game Boy, the DS, and the 3DS did so well is because they were handheld consoles and had handheld games. Games specifically made to be played on handheld, short experiences, easy to start and stop, stuff like that. And the PS Vita had the promise of console quality games on the go. And that's cool. It sounds great, but that's not what I want. I don't want to play Uncharted and all those AAA games on the go. I want to play them at home.
Right. But that's kind of where you get the best of both worlds with this, right? Isn't that like the dream they're selling?
Yeah, but, I guess.
But the PlayStation Vita undoubtedly moved away from that model of, we're going to put a Call of Duty on this thing, and we're going to put a fucking Uncharted, and we're going to have these big budget games that no one wanted to play on a Vita.
Yeah.
And they moved into where indies started taking advantage of it, and like you said, getting to that sweet spot for a portable console where it's like bite-sized portion games work really well for on the go. It's not anything new. But yeah, I see that. What's the other scenario?
That their idea with this is they've always had success with handhelds. Always. And they still do to this day. The 3DS has done fantastic. Their home console has struggled, taking the Wii out. The GameCube struggled, and the Wii U is essentially a failure at this point, as much as I love it. They seem to be thinking that by merging the two, they will lift up their console business to join their handheld, and that, you know, they'll succeed together. My worry is it will do the opposite, and it will drag down the handheld. People won't look at this as a successor to the 3DS. You own a 3DS. You play a few 3DS games, but I don't see you going, oh, the Switch is my new 3DS. I'll pick that up to replace my 3DS, and oh, it also has home console stuff. It feels like people will look at this as the home console, and then no true successor to the 3DS will be released because this is its successor.
Yeah.
And that will cause not really confusion, but just sort of people will just kind of forget. They'll just drift off and forget that they ever had a Nintendo handheld that was standalone.
What if that thing was a phone, too?
That is... definitely something that I've been thinking, like, people are talking about, like, Rocket League on this, and to do that, you need internet. I don't want to have to hunt down a Wi-Fi hotspot. So will it have a 4G, connection? And if it does, I don't want to pay, like, 50, 60 bucks a month just for my Switch to have 4G connection. So it would need other functions. Yeah, it seems too big to be a phone,
right.
But if it was a full-blown tablet,
yeah.
then maybe.
I'm just trying to think of ways that Nintendo kind of saturates and hits a mass market the way that they do with the 3DS. You know, like they sold a shitload of those things in multiple SKUs and the upgrades for them. And as that kind of, as people kind of, I mean, that's been a narrative for a while, is that handhelds are going away because of phones. Right? I mean, isn't that the narrative that's kind of...
That's the narrative. I've always wondered if it was a true narrative, though, because we've seen that the 3DS has remained successful despite the rise in smartphone gaming. It just seems like people still... People like me and people who read gaming websites still like the idea of having a standalone gaming unit. I mean, that's why people buy consoles when they have a home PC, and why they buy handhelds when they have a tablet and a phone, is because the games on there are so much better. And I mean, maybe the Switch will get by with that, you know, have a Splatoon on there that I can play on the go. That would be cool. But I don't know. It's uncharted territory that they're going into here. And
what's this thing going to be priced at?
No idea. We know almost nothing. We know it comes out March 15th. With Zelda, and that's about it. They showed a Mario game. They showed us what looked like a newer version of Mario Kart and Splatoon. They showed Skyrim, but they did not confirm that those were actual things. They could have just been tech stuff tossed in there to give you an idea.
You can call it tech stuff to give you an idea, or you can call it more Nintendo bullshit. As they revealed the Wii U... There was some Nintendo bullshit in that reveal. Like they did this time again with the third, their robust list of developers. Bethesda, Square Enix, Take-Two.
Is this giving you deja vu? It gave me deja vu.
I mean, it's just what happens. And then...
It's weird that everyone buys into it every time.
Well, at least the controller is like, looks pretty normal. For this thing, it looks like it could be a third-party like alternative, but if it's not powerful enough, these games—I don't know. If it always comes down to like, well, we can port this game to the Wii U, but we can't use any features of the actual controller in it, or we're not going to. And then ultimately, these companies just stopped supporting it. Right? Isn't that basically what happened?
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of the Wii U life cycle, they had Call of Duty on there. Batman, Mass Effect, you know.
Mass Effect.
Big games. And that trailer showed Skyrim, right? I mean, that was Skyrim
on
there.
It seemed to. It pretty obviously was Skyrim. The list of developers is long. But we've seen that before with Nintendo reveals of consoles. They do get these companies on board, but they put out like little feeler games and see how they do, and then they always do terribly.
Right. Because everybody wants to buy the first party stuff, and you're going to spend their money on that.
I mean, this does, like you said, this takes away a lot of... I've spoken with developers before about ports, and they always say like what makes them work is when you have so little extra work to bring it. And going from PS4 to Xbox One to PC is relatively easy. You have so much little underneath the surface that needs to be touched up to bring it to those consoles. And the Wii U was a lot of work because of the gamepad. And this does remove that. This removes a lot of that. I mean, this is essentially a regular console. Like you said, the controller is normal. Even the weird controllers are fairly normal when you attach them to that screen and everything. You could pretty much take any game. I think actually you're losing a lot of functionality. The gamepad is gone. They've said discs and physical media are not backwards compatible, and I'm guessing digital as well, except for maybe virtual console stuff. We're kind of hitting a big reset button on Nintendo here, where the Wii remotes are done. You're not having to do all of this special work, so they could maintain third-party support, but I mean, unless it really takes off, it's it's what, 40 million units behind the PS4?
Right.
And 20 to 30 behind the Xbox
and
One.
And those consoles are at prices now that are very competitive. And the PlayStation, what, a $249? Xbox is, what, the same in some cases, and $299 in others?
Yeah, and bundled with
Bundled with games. So I think, you know, probably the consensus is around they're going to need to be competitive. They're going to need to be there, right?
Yeah. It's got to be $300 or less.
Or less.
But I doubt they can go less. $300 seems like dead on what they need to hit with this
For
thing.
Me at this point, it's going to be also, I might jump on board this Nintendo thing this time around, but if the thing's not powerful enough to run those third-party games at the fidelity that is offered on comparable consoles, I don't want that.
I think that, I mean, we know very little, but what people were digging up about this NVIDIA Tegra processor that it's going to be using, it might be on par with a PS4. Maybe.
Like a regular PS4?
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be bad. The PS4 does pretty well for a lot of games. If 1080p, 30, some.
And it would be interesting if that's what the tablet can hit, and inserting it into that dock ups that in any way.
I want
way.
Nintendo to that come out and be... say this screen is 4K. This thing does 4K. It's $7.99. You're going to get Mario in 4K.
Zelda. It's going to have the highest quality pixels.
Zelda 4K.
HDR support.
HDR support. You've never seen Link pixels like this. Miyamoto will come out and say that. On March 15th or whenever they said they were going to do this. But so you sound hopefully optimistic. I think you...
I'm cautious. I'm very, very cautious.
You're cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, I want it.
There's
want
no
it
reason
well.
For you to be anything other than excited because you're going to buy the console. You'll enjoy the games that they put out on it regardless. But
yeah, but I mean,
you're
you
just
need,
talking
you know,
from a perspective of... whether it's going to actually do well.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, which I want it to do well. Nintendo consoles always, you know, are better when they're doing well in the marketplace and we get more support. This, like, Wii U drought that we've had now that they're kind of giving up on it and in between some game releases is always frustrating. So it'll be nice if they do well with this, but... I'm not placing any bets just yet.
Good luck, Nintendo. You're going to need it, I think. That's my take on that. I really, really do think they'll probably flop like the Wii U.
I think it could, and I'm worried, especially if it does bring down... I mean, they could come out with a successor to the 3DS, just say, oops, well, the Switch is just our home console.
They're going
to
see how much money they make with these these phone games and be like, fuck this. Let's just do this. We are the new big mobile player on the block. We're the new King or Zynga or whoever. They're going to make a shitload of money with that stuff, man. I mean, I don't think they're in any they're in dire straits at all, but
yeah, I always have to emphasize that. Like, people always have doom and gloom around Nintendo when they're in trouble. They've got money in the bank that'll cover them for a long, long time. They just might not be what we're used to them being. So,
well, nothing will ever compare to the Wii. I think that was a moment.
That was a flash in the pan. Yeah. Yep.
We'll move along to our second item. Probably, maybe, I don't know, not quite as important as a new console, but something that people have been asking for a long time. Rockstar's finally announced Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep.
Coming fall 2017.
Yeah, people were... this hit like an hour after the Switch, and people were super excited. Like, that was a big couple of hours in gaming there.
Yeah, I was not around for. Did not see any of it.
I was asleep and checked them out as soon as I woke up, but... It was a nice trailer. I mean, it didn't really show too much, but Yeah, I don't think it had to.
I don't know. I kind of disagreed with it not showing very much. I mean, I watched it. It did exactly what the first GTA trailer did. Hmm. It's just a kind of like a sizzle reel of like, look how good this looks. This is what it's going to be. These are our environments. This is what the water's going to look like. This is what the foliage is going to look like. They'll ramp that up just like they always do and give you drip-fed information for the next year about this game, just like they did with GTA 5. I mean, that was such a successful formula for them. I don't see them doing anything different, and I think this trailer was just about on par with what they did for Grand Theft Auto 5.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to knock it. It just wasn't like a 30-minute exploration of the story.
It wasn't.
We're revealing
Fallout, and it's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. but it got me excited. You know, I played Red Dead Redemption. I wasn't as huge a fan as everyone. I really enjoyed the game, but I wouldn't put it on my top 10 like a lot of people do.
I like the game also. There were some things about that game at launch that were kind of fucked up and broken. Hmm. And also, I think at that point I was just like almost tired of like that same open world experience that was being copied a lot when that game was released. Like, follow this marker, go to your next mission, do this. I mean, there is still a lot of freedom, obviously, but you know, navigating through that main path is follow the marker, do the mission, follow the marker. Follow the marker again. It just kind of got old, no matter how good the story and characters and all that stuff were. And it was more of along the lines of like the Grand Theft Auto 4 kind of game, where Grand Theft Auto 5 introduced some new things, like switching between the characters, and there were some new gameplay designs in there. I hope that Red Dead does some stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've had long enough to put it together, so hopefully they've got some good ideas in here.
I'm definitely excited for that. My father
definitely agree with the open world. What's that?
My father is excited for that.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Is he like a big Western fan?
No, he's a big Red Dead fan.
Okay.
He's completed that. He likes to play games. We said we were both out of town. I went and saw my family. He's like, I finished Assassin's Creed, Hitman, and he plays like PGA Tour. I'm like, you finished Assassin's Creed? He's like, yep. Put like 50 hours into that one. Jesus,
nice.
Man.
See, is he retired? He's got
not retired,
time.
No. He just comes home and kicks back and starts playing games. I don't know. He's the one who got me into him when I was a kid anyway. You know, he was always ahead of the times. Like, we had, like, the, I always had all of them, like, the Atari and the Intellivision and fucking Nintendo, obviously. And then like, everything. But Commodore 64, Amiga, all that stuff. I mean, they liked the stuff. I just didn't ever put him as into it. Maybe he's getting older and just liking him more. Anyway, with the hot corner moment about my father, hopefully Red Dead Redemption, we get some more concrete information about this in the coming months. I'm guessing they'll follow the same path as they did with GTA 5. And I heard that they're thinking about doing some sort of online, like Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be Red Dead Online. I think that was part of the announcement. Not a lot of info about it, but you can kind of piece it together in your head a little bit.
Yeah.
That it'll just be some kind of online multiplayer, probably.
Red Dead Redemption 2 shark cards.
Oh, God. Yep. They feel like making another couple $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, we just talked about that. I don't know if it was on the last podcast or not. But yeah, they are making money hand over fist with that GTA Online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm honestly surprised that they're doing this and not just sticking with online with how much money they made off of it. But
yeah, just a couple
I'm
weeks
glad that
ago,
they are.
I think we were talking about that, like, why they hadn't announced this game yet, you know, and how long they were going to continue to support GTA 5 and if they were going to put DLC out for it or.
Yeah, this and GTA 6, I wasn't sure would ever come out with how much they were reeking in cash off those shark cards.
Right, let's just keep doing this. We'll put new shit out every month and keep our base of however many million people bought that game. I don't know. I think it's got to be the best-selling game of the last few years, right?
I think it's one of the best of all time, if you count all versions.
Right. I wonder how many people still play that.
The last number I saw was like 50 million. 50? Which is, yeah.
So all the versions, PC, Xbox One, PS4, PS3, Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
They got a lot of people to double dip on that probably. 50 million, that's a lot.
Yep.
That is a lot. We'll see in the coming months, I guess. Maybe we'll see something at like the Game Awards or something like that, or whatever, the Jeff Keighley thing, the yearly.
Oh, yeah, in December.
Yeah, maybe. It's definitely going to be on my most anticipated list. I did enjoy Grand Theft Auto V, so looking forward to that.
Yep.
Let's talk MPD sales, Kyle. Guess who won in September?
Was it the Xbox One?
Was.
Again?
Suck it.
That thing's doing well.
Anthony, suck it. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
The Xbox One S apparently is doing, you know, what it was intended to do. Is trying to kind of eat back into some market share for Microsoft. But apparently both consoles and hardware sales in general are down. But it is the third month in a row that Microsoft has outsold the PlayStation 4. And it's interesting only because here we are in September. October's numbers probably won't tell much either. But November, it will be interesting to see whether people buy the PlayStation 4 Pro or whether...
Or the Slim?
They buy this...
Oh, yeah, the Pro is coming out in November, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Either they buy, or if the Slim bolsters their numbers as well, or has, isn't that thing already out?
No.
The Slim? I think it is out. I think it came out that day that they announced it, or like the next day. It was one of those Apple, bang, bang, here you go, go get one. I'm pretty sure. Maybe not. Who knows? We only speak in generalities here on the Attack of the Fanboy podcast. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. Today... Apparently we don't. I'm pretty sure, though. Yeah, so that's the MPD hardware data.
I mean, it makes sense that Xbox One would keep winning with... I mean, the Xbox One S is nice. It's a nice upgrade. And I know if someone asked me, should I buy a PS4 right now, I would say no. I would say wait. Wait for the PS4 Pro. So... I'm guessing when that hits, they'll probably take the month, but I don't know how much. There definitely isn't as much anticipation behind this as I thought that there would be. People just kind of seem to be like, oh, okay, well, it's slightly better, so I'll pick that up when it's out. But no one's, like, frothing at the mouth. It hasn't sold out, I don't think, on Amazon. Mm. Last I checked, it was not sold out.
With the PS4 Pro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that you saw the outcry from the gaming community. That's like, this maybe isn't the upgrade that I want for this. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in the market for a console, will I spend the extra $60 or whatever it is? Right? Isn't that what the difference is?
Yeah.
60?
It's 100 bucks.
Oh, 100 bucks. Okay. Yeah. Well, 100 bucks, and you get the... I don't know how many people are going to... translate that into a better experience because, I mean, this is kind of getting off track, but they were talking about the extra video RAM, I guess.
Yeah. What is it, like another
gig? Of, I guess it's video RAM or it's DRAM. Yeah, a gigabyte of slow conventional DRAM.
Yeah.
I guess is how Mark Cerny described it. I find that hard to believe that he would say that. Maybe I'm reading this wrong.
No, that's so we added a gigabyte of slow conventional DRAM to the console. Yeah,
that's mighty nice of you. Huh.
This feels more and more like the new 3DS.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, will it run games better? Sure.
Yes.
This
is sounding
exactly
worse
that.
And worse as I read things about this. I was excited. I'm like, oh, I'm on my PS4, do some 4K gaming. Fuck.
Yeah.
So here's a quote. On PS4 Pro, we do things differently. When you stop using Netflix, we move it to the slow conventional gigabyte of DRAM. Using that strategy frees up almost a gigabyte of the 8 gigabytes of GDDR5. We use 512 megabytes of that freed up space for games, which is to say that games can use 5.5 gigabytes instead of the normal 5, and we use the rest to make the PS4 Pro interface. Meaning what you see when you hit the PS button at 4K rather than 1080p it is today. Yep.
Yeah, it just, yeah,
yep.
More,
less
more
excited.
Minor.
Very, I'm less excited about the PlayStation 4 after reading that. I mean, Cerny, we've added slow conventional DRAM. I mean, most people don't know what that means anyway, but just to put slow in there,
yeah.
You could have just said conventional, and people probably would have been okay with it.
He's digging in the weeds. You know?
He's being truthful, though. That's good. I mean, if I was Sony, I wouldn't want to disappoint people with, like, this is going to be the best thing ever. And then they get it home and they already own a PS4, like those people. And it's like, oh, this isn't that much better. This is actually a marginal upgrade. Why the fuck did I just buy this thing?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I'm getting one on day one.
Same, although I'm getting closer to canceling it.
I'm going to give my PS4 to a homeless person. Maybe I could give it to a kid for Christmas or something. I don't know. I need to give it to somebody that needs a PS4, because I certainly don't need a second PS4. I could use a second Xbox One, because it's more of a good, it's better media machine.
I've thought of that as well. It'd be nice to have
one
Xbox
in the bedroom or whatever.
In my bedroom,
yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, Forza Horizon 3 was the best-selling first-party title of the month. We gave it a pretty solid review. Could be one of the best racing games of the entire year. And since that came out in September, that was included in these NPD numbers. Next month, I don't think Sony's put anything out to kind of compete with Gears of War 4. So, we'll have to see if that kind of will have some follow through for Microsoft next month, or whether the PlayStation VR kind of evens that a little bit. Speaking of which, I've been playing some PSVR.
How have you liked it?
The hard hitting questions.
Seems.
No, it's not. I know I said, it's not quite, I'm not jaded on this thing at all. Actually, it's quite cool. I haven't played much yet. I played the entirety of like the PSVR worlds,
which is a nice little intro pack.
Yeah. The pack and disc. I played some of the demos. I played the playroom as well. So
okay.
I'm still, like, I just got this thing 2 days ago, so I'm still kind of digging into it in full. But my initial impressions of it are like, oh, this is cool. Like, the London heist was neat. I hadn't seen that at conventions. That was being shown off. A lot of this stuff has already been shown off. You might have even played some of it, right?
I actually played the London heist. That was, like, the first... That was the second game that I played on PSVR. First was Riggs, which I actually want to buy because that was a good-looking game.
Yeah, Riggs, the demo, whatever, that was pretty cool. I might buy that as well. It looks good. A lot of the stuff looks good. I've been saying, like, over the last couple of VR conversations we've had, like, there's definitely a quality thing when you are looking at that It's just...
Yeah, the resolution. The
resolution is not that great. I wish it was better, but, you know, I understand what you said in the Lost podcast, which we recorded last week that didn't get published because of a computer meltdown. Like, grading it on a curve probably is the right thing to do, because for the price, it's actually a really good experience. Exactly. For $500, it's... like, that's a pretty solid experience. And not just in the games that are on offer right now. There's some decent stuff out there, like, even just in playing some of the demos. Like, have you played Thumper?
No. No, I want to check that one out. I've heard good stuff.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty simple, but it's gamey. Like, it's old school arcade gamey in a way that uses the VR well, that just immerses you. It's not like what a lot of things are doing. It's not an experience. It's a like a timing game, like hitting things. And you're just basically driving this car down a track. It's not a car. It's a fucking bug. And you're dodging things and doing simple mechanics with the controller. But it's, you know, I could see that being... It was one of those games where it's like, I'm beating this. I'm getting through this. And I, you know, it can be challenging. And that's what, you know, I always think about with games is like fail states and having them making you, you know, replay things. That's like something that makes a game, in my opinion.
You want a game to beat you up a little
bit. I do. Not necessarily beat you up, but give you some sort of challenge. Otherwise, it's just either a virtual tour or... you know, interactive adventure or whatever, like those Walking Dead type things from Telltale. Mm-hmm. Regardless, there's some good stuff on there. I've been enjoying it actually quite a lot. It's worked well. I haven't really run into any of the problems that I've seen online as far as like connectivity and it recognizing the headset and the floatiness of everything. It's felt pretty good for me. And I don't know if that's waiting a week and maybe getting an update in there for some stuff.
I don't know that there was any significant update that was pushed. But
oh, really?
Maybe it's, you know, just that your expectations got set correctly. I think a lot of people went into it looking at it in comparison to what's out there on PC. And that's just always going to be bad for it.
Yeah. Yeah, my expectations were pretty fucking low. My bar that it needed to hop over I had convinced myself that it was going to be like really, like I called it last week, baby's first VR or whatever. And in a way it is, but it also is passable, you know, like some of this stuff is fun to play. I actually hooked it up to my Xbox last night.
Yeah, that's an interesting little trick that I've heard about.
You can hook up, I think, just about anything to this thing and watch. It's not horrible. I played Gears of War, although you can't recenter yourself, so I was like facing 180 degrees the opposite direction once I was done playing like two rounds of Gears of War.
That sucks.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe you can center it. I just didn't know how.
Yeah, I tried a game on there the first night, but I was only on for like 10 minutes, and I had the same thing. It just wasn't as bad. I was like slightly to the left, and I was like, "Why?"
Yeah.
So I don't know where it gets its center. There's probably a way to recenter it. We need to look that up.
And the VR stuff that they're kind of showcasing is good, like the shark attack stuff, and it's like a thing where you move your head to block the ball.
I was playing that one. Cool. That one was fun.
I'm gonna dig into some more of the games. We have a bunch of codes for these things, and I know Dean looked at Batman Arkham. You've played that as well.
I did not play Batman. Actually,
you didn't.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have saw that at one of the conventions.
No, I saw that shooter Farpoint.
That's right. I played that as well. Yeah, he liked Batman Arkham. He actually loved it. I could see that being fun for a little couple hours. My major thing with it right now is just like, I can't play it for that long. I can only play it for a couple of hours before my head starts like throbbing. And when I get out of that thing, after I play it for as long as a couple of hours, I'm like my head is swimmy a little bit. Like, I have a little bit of, I just feel off. So,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's not sickness. I don't feel sick. I just feel a little bit disoriented after being in that thing for a little while. Maybe that's normal, but for some people that's going to deter them from longer play sessions, you know, obviously, which in turn, you know, makes playing games like Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatever a moot point. Like, you really can't. First of all, because the resolution is not that great, it looks better to just play it on your TV. Second of all, like, I don't know how much you've looked at that, but you have to literally look to the left or look to the right to see the full screen in clear view. Like, if you're looking at something in your periphery, it's fucking blurry.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to look directly at it.
And that's true on my Vive as well.
Is it?
It's, yeah.
Hmm.
So, that I think it's just kind of a consequence of VR right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, the big question is it good enough to push VR? Because I think this is VR's chance at mass market.
Right.
The Vive, I think they announced
140,000 units.
140,000, yeah. Which is good, but it's not what we need to really push VR.
Right.
We need million. We need 2 million. And I think it can do it. I mean,
yeah,
for people just wanting to play some VR games on their PS4, it's pretty nice.
Well, they're going to get that holiday rush just like everybody does, but it's going to be like they're going to need to put out some good stuff here in the next year that makes people really say, you've got to try this. Because there are some things right now that are good, but they're not like, holy fucking shit, man. This is the future, at least for me.
Yeah.
I am not like evangelizing this product to my friends. Like, you have to get this right now. Because it's not quite there. And software always makes these things into the killer. You know, what's the killer app for this? And we'll have to wait and see if they put it out. It's going to probably come from fucking Sony. It's got to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they seem to be working on it. They're putting a lot of effort into getting those exclusives like Farpoint, and Batman's an exclusive, right? I know it's not out on PC. I don't know if it'll come out later. So that's all great stuff.
But you're still there on that. Have you played it much more since you've gotten back?
No. I've been working all day today, and I was just asleep when I got home last night. So.
Yeah, I've been putting that thing. Again, I put that thing on drunk last night. That was a mistake.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
That is not smart. Like, I thought I was going to have a seizure. But, yeah. Thought I was going to have a seizure. You could put that on a box.
I mean, there have been a lot of people talking about how they get sick. I know Damien got sick on it a lot. Even wrote, like, a guide to what games didn't make him sick so they wouldn't make other people sick. But I think it's just, some people are more susceptible to stuff like that. And if you're drunk, you're very susceptible to stuff like that.
Yeah,
so maybe
it's very disorienting. But a lot of that stuff's cool. I mean, you know, the demos at least were really cool. It's going to come down to, you know, what they put out there. Riggs is obviously good. But I just don't think there's a killer app out there right now. And it's okay. It's okay.
Solid review.
It's okay. I mean, if I am going to review it. I like the hardware. I like the actual hardware.
It's even more comfortable than a Vive.
Yeah, I like all the little flaps they have on there to keep you kind of isolated. I like the padding. I like the way an ease of like putting it on your head and getting it calibrated for your, you know, head shape, I guess would be the case. Because if it's not, you know, it's obviously it's blurry. You know, that stuff's super quick. Like getting it set up is super easy, even though there's a lot of shit that does come with that thing. as far as the box and cables and plugging things in, and you've got a giant cable running over your shoulder that's got headphones in it, and you can't, like, naturally you want to, like, put it behind you, but mm-hmm. you really can't unless you run the headphones behind you, but then you don't have access to, like, the volume and stuff. I mean, it's a weird setup for that thing. There's some good things I like about it. There's some things I don't, but
yeah,
all in all,
that's where VR is yeah. right now. I mean, that's true of every VR headset.
So. I know, but like enthusiasts on the PC are more, you know, they're more likely to play a half finished game or an experience or deal with this while they're fixing it or use a DK1, you know what I'm saying? Or
yeah.
Then somebody that's like, I'm plunking down 500 for this and this shit better be good. You know? And that's what I think like the console crowd is at this point. Yeah. And I think it's there. Like it does feel like that finished, polished product, but I don't know if good enough is I don't know if that's good enough to get them there, like we were saying, to that mass market adoption. Because I think there's going to be some people that are like, this is fucking awesome. There's going to be people that are like, you know what? This is not as good as I thought it would be. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I've yet to kind of determine where I'm at on it, but there are some things I like about it. There's some things I don't. I know what I didn't like playing was Battlefield 1. No, you know...
You have angered...
I have angered people.
The internet.
Mm.
So, yeah. I mean, you... Yeah. It's... Yeah. I'm surprised. I thought you would like it more, but that's how it goes.
I'm standing firm on this, regardless of what people have... I mean, I've gotten not only some... pretty shitty comments on this review, but also some emails.
All right.
That have really made me question writing on the internet. Nah, you motherfuckers can't shake my confidence. Let's look at some of these.
So we should say you gave it a...
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5, which is obviously the worst score in the world. It is the worst score on Metacritic, but...
It is.
I didn't realize that. I didn't look at those scores before I posted it. Contrary to what most people believe, that I just posted this review and scored it this way because I wanted to be the lowest score on Metacritic. Well, I could say that we don't do that, have never done that, and will never do that. However,
yeah.
Disgust seems to be taking longer than usual to reload. I think they're having problems today. So we're not going to be able to look down these comments. I should have wrote some of them down. But they're along the lines of I'm a piece of shit and I should kill myself for
a lot of them called you a Call of Duty fanboy.
An Activision paid site.
Yeah. Which you do like Call of Duty. But
I do like Call of Duty.
I'm not a
huge fan of Call of Duty. I'm not necessarily like I've had some Call of Duty fatigue here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have.
Okay, it's been a while. I don't have a huge opinion on Infinite Warfare. I haven't played it, not nearly as much as you, not nearly as much as we have a impressions of the beta up on the site as well. I don't think by any means we would be a Call of Duty Activision site, but we do deal with, Activision just like we deal with EA for reviewing games and all, you know, companies basically. But you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, I think, like I said in the review, I think the game is still fucking awesome looking. It looks great. It sounds great. It's a breath of fresh air in terms of the setting.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, this is a Battlefield game, then, and it is not that much different than the last Battlefield game or the one before that. And
yeah, it's just kind of a reskin, in your opinion?
You know, I do feel that way. Yeah, I do feel that it's kind of a reskin. It's just new weapons. There's some new mechanics, and it doesn't have the same... wow factor that some previous Battlefield games have. they're still relying on like the features from previous games, and then even taking away from some of what they did in Battlefield 4 with like Levolution. I know like people think it's a cliche. Some people liked it, some people didn't. I thought that was like one of the most revolutionary aspects that anybody has introduced into a first-person shooter like this in quite some time. Like, a fucking skyscraper of that magnitude crumbling into the fucking water in the middle of a match, while people are in it, it's not just like some sideshow shit. It's really stuff happening and changing the maps in real time while you're playing. Like, that stuff was fucking amazing, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it varied for me. Some of them were, I felt, just for show. But then there were others, like, there was one where the map
flooded. Yeah, like, that was fucking cool. It turned into, all boats. It went from tanks to boats. And it's like, whoa, this is cool. Yeah, there was a lot of them like that.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, I thought it was more gimmicky. When they talked about it, but I mean, the more I think about it, it was pretty interesting. It had a lot of gameplay elements to it.
It doesn't really matter. It's my opinion anyway, and everybody else can, you know, have theirs also. But, you know, that was my opinion. That was one of the things for me. It was like, well, this feels like a reskin Battlefield with weapons that really feel like unwieldy. And vehicles that are just like, you know, I don't know. I know that's what they're going for, the authenticity. All that stuff is great. And maybe the authenticity isn't even quite there. But they tried for it. And I don't know. It's just not my favorite Battlefield game.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad score. You're not saying it's a bad game.
What was good was actually the single player side of the story, and DICE is like, pretty well known for putting out garbage single player campaigns that are basically just showcase pieces for their, you know, bells and whistles in Frostbite. You know, it's destruction, it's you know, bloom and all that's, you know, it's just, what can this engine do? We're going to show you in the campaign. The story's going to suck. It's going to be pretty boring slog for 8 or 9 hours, but we're going to show you what we got here under the hood. And then this one does that, but also does it in a different way, where they kind of split it up into different things called war stories, where you do these they're both intimate and brief. So you don't quite get enough time to like really sink your teeth into the story, but you have enough. They make it intimate enough to where you care about these little stories. It's like short stories, basically. And they're separated into basically teaching you the vehicle classes. It's just not a linear narrative structure like it has been in the past. And I thought that was kind of cool. You know, these little things where you can bounce back and forth. I want to do this section. I want to try this one. I'll go back and forth. You can do that. In the campaign. It's something different. I think that was a good move from them. I don't think that the single-player campaign was the best part about that game. Battlefield 1 is still a lot of fun. I don't think it's not fun. I don't think that I won't play this game further. I just don't think it's the best Battlefield game that they've ever made.
All right.
And 7 out of 10 is not a bad score, Internet. What the fuck would you have come to my house and killed me if I gave it a 3? That would have been a 6 out of 10.
That would have been interesting.
And I mean, I clearly say that I like the game. It's just that
you don't love it.
I don't love it, and I don't think it's. I mean, you could probably score this an 8, a 7, or an 8. I saw some people score it 100. What's fucking wrong? I mean, but they also, you know, if you're gonna. I'm going to take this time to address people who listen to the podcast and, you know, also keep track of or say things to us in the comments that are, they're not mean. I mean, we've been writing on the internet for years now, and it's not, like, it doesn't get under my skin for people to say, oh, and this review is fucking poorly written, and it's blah, 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 and just because your opinion sucks. And it's the best thing in the world if it aligns with your opinion and purchase decision. However, you know, if you want to look at, like, Metacritic and you want to say, oh, well, these people only wrote this review so we could have the bottom score, I mean, that's... Does it go the same for the people who gave this game 100? It's a perfect score. I mean, I don't get the internet, Kyle.
Yeah,
I don't get why people. I love Battlefield. I love Battlefield. I've been a Battlefield fan for a long fucking time, and you know, some games are just more disappointing than others. I liked Hardline more than I liked this game. Maybe it was the setting. You know.
Oh, that's. That's fighting words there.
Why?
That you may have made it worse.
Fuck it.
A lot of people didn't like Hardline.
I don't give a fuck what other people like. I'm the one writing the review. I like Hardline.
I agree.
I didn't like this World War I setting as much. I mean, they do some cool stuff in here. There are some different game modes. There are the behemoth vehicles. There are the kind of the... They put different... kits on the battlefield where only one person can get them, and they make them more powerful. They got like flamethrowers and more powerful guns and stuff. That stuff is cool. It's different. It's just not groundbreaking change that Battlefield has traditionally offered in numbered games. That's just my take on it. And I'm fucking done. I'm done. I'm going to play Battlefield to continue and play Battlefield even at a 7 out of 10. Enjoy it. Thank you very much for you people who think that I don't like the game. But I'll hold to that. I bet I won't play it as much as I played Battlefield 4.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of a day one Battlefield 4 person. Yeah. And I haven't even ordered Battlefield 1 yet.
You don't need to. We were just saying the other day that Battlefield 4 is still fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I just played it. Well, I mean, go back to the PC stuff. I got a 1080 card and started loading up old games. Battlefield 4 was one of them. And I had a great time with that. I had such a good time with it. I went back and played it on console because it's a good game now. They've kind of made the changes. In a lot of ways, like some of the stuff they do in Battlefield 1 reminds me of what they did in Battlefront. Some of the, like the behemoth, the behemoth vehicles.
Okay.
That's supposed to be, you know, one of the main features of the game. Or changes to the multiplayer, I guess.
Oh, like the...
yeah, like...
the blimp?
Yeah, the Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't a huge deal. Like, they talked it up a lot before my demo. I played it E3, and then in the game I didn't even notice that it was there until it had been there for a while, and then somebody took it out, and I was like, oh,
right. Okay. Well, and then you've got a lot of game modes that revolve around it.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not... They talk it up as it's this huge feature, but it's not. In the game, it doesn't feel like a huge feature, and almost in some game modes, it feels like... It just feels unfair and shitty because you're playing a competitive multiplayer game, winning... And then at the end, they're like, hey, we're going to give these guys that you've just been beating for 15 minutes indestructible, or not indestructible, they are destructible, but a blimp that they can just shoot down on you with little recourse for you. You know, it's like, we're just going to give these guys a chance to win in this competitive multiplayer game. I'm just not used to that sort of shit, man. I just didn't, I don't know. I like it. I don't love it. I'll probably continue to follow it and play it, but I just don't see myself playing as much Battlefield this year or in the years to come until the next one comes out.
All right.
Well, what have you been playing?
Don't give out your nothing, because I've been too busy moving around and
on assignment,
traveling and such. Yep.
On assignment.
So, yeah, I played the Pokemon demo a little bit.
All right, that's going to do it for the Attack of the Fanboy podcast.
Really good. Pokemon Sun and Moon is shaping up to be actually really, really good. So if you haven't played the demo, I highly recommend picking it up.
Is
and checking it out.
Is that, when's that due out?
The full game? Next month, November 18th.
Okay. So that's like a full big new Pokemon?
Yeah. No, normal. This one has like probably the most changes that I've ever seen in the series. This is making a lot of big shifts for Pokemon fans. And like stuff, not just like gameplay mechanic changes, like small little tweaks that are just really great. Like in the demo, I was noticing it tells me on the screen when I'm picking my move which one will be super effective and which one will be like not effective. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to constantly be checking my little type chart because I don't have it memorized because I'm not a true Pokemon master.
Yeah,
but
you're not a gym master.
Just small stuff like that. Yeah, just little things that they went in and just tweaked a little bit that really are making this look like it's going to be a great game for Pokemon
fans.
Well,
good for you. I will not play that. Is it only on the new 3DS, or can you play it on the old one?
Yeah, you can play it on the old one.
I actually enjoyed it. I played X and Y. I thought they were good. I mean, I hadn't played Pokemon before, so I played one of them. It was all right. Mm-hmm. I could see why people like it.
Those ones were good intro games. Yeah. They're addictive.
Yeah, they can be. But that was it?
Yep, but that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Trying to think of what else I played. Not much. Not much. So that's going to do it for number 43. Attack of the Fanboy podcast. For the things that we talked about today, you can find them on our site, attackofthefanboy.com. You can find videos and stuff that we do, possibly some footage from a shooter soon to be released that we have collected. We'll be up on our YouTube channel.
There's so many shooters.
What's that?
Soon to be released. But I said there's so many shooters soon to be released.
Which one could it be?
Which one could it be?
We are an Activision paid site. For that stuff, you can check out youtube.com/fanboyattack. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play as well. And for Kyle, I'm William, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.